It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Middle Georgia's ESPN.
Happy, happy Friday, and welcome into the Midday Sports Zone. My name is Russ Brown. Daniel Shirley's alongside. And today we are broadcasting live from Famous Mike's in downtown Macon, where it is about lunchtime, so you need to get on down here. Come say hello. Come get you something good to eat. Mike has already hooked us up with the he wanted us to sample the steak that comes with the steak and eggs for breakfast. Not the steak that he'll be serving for dinner, and we'll tell you more about the dinners here in just a sec, but the steak that comes with the steak and eggs. And it passes muster, as they say.
It passes the test, huh?
Yeah. You know, Mike is our newest restaurant sponsor, although he's been on with us for a pretty good long time now. And, you know, it takes a while to kind of get a sample of everything that you have to that they serve up. You okay over there? You look confused.
No, I just was not hearing any return or anything in my headphones.
Did you turn your headphones up?
I did. I'm good.
Good job.
I mean, I had them.
Between my spelling and your headphone engineering, we're struggling today.
I had them turned up almost all the way.
You did?
And now I'm finally hearing something. Your spelling is way worse than my engineering.
I didn't misspell agent. I have fat fingers, and it's a tiny keyboard. It's a man problem.
What kind of keyboard was it?
A phone.
On your phone.
Yeah, phone key. Not like a keyboard.
I was about to say, you got some fat fingers, but they're not sausage fingers. Type on a keyboard.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, anyway, the steak here that goes with the steak and eggs is incredible. We're sampling some of that right now. And wanted to tell you, one of the main reasons we're here today. Oh, I remember what I was saying now before you got confused with your headphones. So it takes a while to kind of sample everything that's on the menu, right? And I've had a pretty good sample now. It's rib day for me for lunch because Mike wanted me. He told me I have to try his ribs. I got the brisket when I was here last time, and it was delicious. And I told him, I said, man, that brisket, it ranks up there, you know. And I've had the privilege of having brisket in a few places here in Georgia, like Jody's down the street, and some other barbecue places up in the metro area, and some barbecue places in South Georgia, Texas, New Mexico. I've had the chance to get out and try some barbecue in my day, and Mike's is right up there. And when I told him that, he looks at me and goes, oh, wait till you try the ribs. So I'm a little bit excited.
I had the brisket. You had the brisket sandwich.
Yeah.
I just had the brisket plate. So I'm going to try the – I'm going to dive in and try the ribs, too.
All right.
I don't know that I can eat a full serving of the ribs.
Yeah.
So I may be taking some home with me. Hey,
well, let's get – Producer Chris, jump in here real quick if you can. You there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Now, you're coming to Famous Mike's for lunch also. What are you thinking?
Well – I was thinking about getting my usual, the mushroom burger, but now y'all got me talking about food, and I have sampled the ribs.
Okay.
And I've had the ribs.
I haven't had a full rack, or a half rack. I had a bite of one.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, I'm now in a state of undecidedness.
Well, see, I'm thinking what we should do at lunch is just get a big old plate of ribs and just dive in.
Okay.
Like heathens.
That works for me.
All right.
Feed me, Seymour.
Producer Chris, he's a wild one. Well, we are here at Mike's, and the food, like, he fits in with our restaurant sponsors because once they've been on for a while and we've had a chance to come back and try a lot of the stuff on the menu, it's like everything's good. I gave up. But I used to be on the search to find something. Is there something on the menu I don't like? And I haven't found that. Whether it's Jody's, Wild Wing, Tommy's, here at Famous Mike's,
McCall's,
the Taco Shed, Steakhouse, McCall's. I mean, it's just all good. Yeah, I have my favorites now. Don't get me wrong. But it's all good.
Well, and I love the bacon cheeseburger here. And I feel like when I don't get it, I'm cheating on it with something else. But the other stuff is so good that it's worth it. And I just had the eggs and bacon for the first time just now. My goodness. I mean, and it's just eggs and bacon. It's not reinventing the wheel, but my goodness, it's good. And so.
Well, yeah. I make eggs and bacon at home, and it don't taste like that.
No, mine aren't close to that.
By the way, is it rude if I eat while I'm on the air? Probably
a little bit.
Probably a little bit. The steak's just too good. Well, and the main reason we're here today is to tell you about the dinners. Mike is open for dinner on Friday and Saturday from 5 until 9 o'clock. And he told me last time we were here that as soon as the Christmas – well, the Christmas lights are up, but as soon as the Christmas lights are turned on, which I think is first weekend in November. Is that right? It's after Halloween.
I hope so. It should be after Thanksgiving, but that's we're not going to get into that debate.
They're holiday lights, and Thanksgiving is part of the holiday season.
Okay.
Does that work? It's a month-long celebration.
That's fine for me. Yeah, that works for me.
I mean, we could focus in on one day. It's a big day. Christmas is a big day. Important day. Big time. Big time important day, right?
Yes.
In the history of mankind. Big day. I get that. But we can celebrate a season.
The holiday season.
The holiday season. So we can call them – but then people get offended if you say holiday lights.
Yes, they do.
So the Christmas lights for the holiday season.
They are up.
Does that make everybody happy?
They are up, but they're not on.
But as soon as they are on, Mike will be open for dinner nightly. So you know you're going to come down here and look at the lights. We all do it. I mean, I look forward to it. It's like it's a traditional end of football season, Saturday night after the Army-Navy game. The Brown family comes downtown, and we look at the Christmas lights. Now, last year, let me tell you what happened last year.
The Shirley family does not, by the way. So,
oh, well,
I'm not anti-lights. I just don't squeeze it into my not very busy schedule.
You need to get out of the house. I mean, I'm bad about not getting out of the house. You might be worse than
me. I'd have to go outside to see Christmas lights.
Well, and I'm not kidding you. Last year, we came down here, and, you know, downtown Macon has had a nice little comeback. And so we came down, and I was like, all right, well, hey, we'll go down there, grab something to eat, and then look at the Christmas lights. And nothing was open down. Now, Famous Mike wasn't in this location. He was, I think he was still out on 49 at the time. And we couldn't find anywhere to eat. And we ended up, like, looking at the lights and then driving up to, we ate at some, I don't know, Chinese place. It was like, I felt like I was in the movie A Christmas Story there for a second. But anyway. But now there's somewhere where you can come down. When you come downtown to look at the lights, you've got somewhere to come eat. And if you haven't been, maybe you don't make it to downtown very often. You've heard us talk about it. Mike is going to be open for dinner during that time. He's open for dinner now. You can come down here tonight and fuel up before the rain hits. And we strongly recommend it. It is a very good place. I would confidently recommend everything on the menu, even though I haven't had it yet.
I mean, look, I've had shrimp.
The shrimp was unbelievable.
The shrimp was unbelievable. I've had chicken tenders.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the burger.
Yeah.
I've had the brisket.
Mm-hmm.
I had the gravy biscuit. I've had the sausage biscuit. And now I've had the bacon and eggs. And all of them are top-notch. So why would I think anything else on the menu isn't top-notch?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I've had the burgers. I've had a sandwich. I've had a brisket.
The burger, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, we mixed it up a little bit. And it's all good. Anyway, that's where we're at today. Famous Mike's here in downtown Macon. Real quick, Astros Nationals in the World Series. I know it's not official yet, but come on. I mean, Verlander in a clinching game, Yankees are done.
Looks like it, right?
And how about Correa, man? He's having a huge series.
He
Carlos
really
Correa.
Really, really is.
Had a big 3-run homer in the game last night as Houston knocked off the Yankees. I don't know how much of the game you watched, Daniel, but I was a little bit surprised when A.J. Hinch came out to get Greinke in the fifth inning. He wasn't messing around.
No, he was not.
He's trying to nip this thing in the bud. Because, look, he knows the Nationals are sitting there getting rested up, lining up their rotation. We know Scherzer's going to go in game one. Strasburg's going to go in game two. And, he wants to get this booger wrapped up tonight so they can have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday to get ready. First game of the World Series will be on Tuesday night. And, I mean, I just – it's not impossible. We've seen, I mean, the Yankees know firsthand, even a 3-0 lead right. Isn't safe. But I just, with that pitching staff that the Astros have, the idea of beating them 3 times in a row, it just seems insurmountable.
It seems like too much. There's no doubt about that. And look, if they did it, it would be, I mean, it's not historic because it's happened before, happened to them. But it would be something special. But I don't feel like they have a chance against that pitching staff. I didn't think they had a chance going into the series against that pitching staff. And look, if the Astros win or when they win, to see that pitching staff go against what the Nationals have is going to be something to see.
It really is. I'm excited. I don't, you know, assuming And look, if the Yankees get there, I'll have a rooting interest because there's an NL East team in it that I want to see lose. But if we could get the Astros staff against the National staff, I mean, that gets me excited as a baseball fan.
It's just baseball at its best, right?
It really is.
It really is.
And I hope the Braves are paying attention to what the strengths of these teams are. I mean, you got to have guys that can swing it. We know that, which I think the Braves have. But the starting pitching, man, and we'll get into that Braves offseason talk a little bit later on in the program. I want to go ahead and throw this out there, too. I put up a Twitter poll. What is the most biggest offseason storyline for the Atlanta Braves? Is it the free agent, which I misspelled? Thanks, Daniel, for pointing that out. Is it the free agent pitchers? Is it Josh Donaldson? Or is it possibly banning the tomahawk chop? We'll get into that a little bit later on in the program. Jason Butt's going to join us at 11:30. We'll talk some Rams with him. I mean, Falcons with him. And see what they're going to do against the Rams. We've got plenty of college football talk, a wet college football weekend on tap for us here in the Southeast, but we'll get into the Sun Belt schedule next. We'll talk Georgia-Kentucky a little bit later on in the program, see what's going on in the SEC, and we might even talk a little 404 the culture. We're live at Famous Mike's.
You just heard my thoughts about 404 the culture.
We're live at Famous Mike's in downtown Macon. On Poplar Street, we'll be here broadcasting live until 1 o'clock. We'll grab a little bit of lunch afterwards. We invite you to come by and say hello. And if you can't make it down here for lunch, Mike is open for dinner Friday and Saturday night, 5 until 9 o'clock. And just a great spot to come get you something good to eat. Really good, cool vibe in here. A lot of Allman Brothers stuff on the wall. Mike's got great taste in music, by the way. Music's always really killer. And above all else, the food's good. We're back with more live from Famous Mike's right after this. 11:15, Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley back with you here live at Famous Mike in downtown Macon on Poplar Street. We invite you to come by and have some lunch. I see the kind of where we're situated. You can see the Dwayne Allman wall here in the restaurant. And the Sky Dog benefit concert posters are up. And I want to mention this because Mike has mentioned it to me a couple of times. And it comes up later this year. It's to benefit the help me out, Daniel. The organization
Daybreak.
Thank you.
November 22nd looks like.
So well, those are older posters. But we'll be telling you more about it as we get closer to time. But I saw the poster on the wall and made me think of it, and wanted to mention that. So we'll be getting into that a little bit later on in the year. All right, coming up this weekend in the Fun Belt. Well, it's already. Well, see, in the Fun Belt, our weekend started on Wednesday this week. At Georgia Southern, our weekend starts on Thursday, but in the Fun Belt, it starts on Wednesday. Troy beat South Alabama, no surprise there, 37-13. And Louisiana goes on the road last night. This is a big win for them because Louisiana and Arkansas State, probably the best two programs on the western side. Louisiana ran in there 37-20, ran roughshod over Arkansas State in their own stadium. Louisiana and let me not bury the lead in the Fun Belt. Louisiana and Appalachian State are going to play for the conference championship unless Georgia Southern can do something about it.
Something happens, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Eagles are still in control of their own destiny. We've already played Louisiana. Billy Napier and his bunch, that run game is impressive. I mean, they're 5-2 on the season. They lost to Appalachian State is one of their losses, so that's where their conference loss came from. And obviously App State with a big win over North Carolina earlier this season. Is I mean, they're in the top 25, so I don't have to tell you how good they are. Their other loss was a 10-point loss at Mississippi State. Last night in the game against Arkansas State, they ran for 315 yards on 46 carries. That's 7 yards a carry. And the thing is, Levi Lewis, their quarterback, I mean, they don't do a lot deep down the field, but they do it at a very fast pace. And the passing game is just good enough to keep you honest, and they've already played Appalachian State. It's probably going to be a rematch, like I said, unless the Georgia Southern Eagles can do something about that. As far as some people have asked me, Russ, can the Georgia Southern Eagles do that? You know what? I think tomorrow is a telling day, and I'm excited about it. Whether or not included in the excitement part, but I'm not going to let it dampen my spirits. Coastal Carolina, Georgia Southern tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Pre-game tailgate show starts at 1 o'clock. You can hear it right here on the Superstations. And the reason I'm excited about tomorrow, and I think it's a big day, is because really for the first time, there's some continuity. Now, unfortunately, Jacob Cooper, the starting center, he's out for the year. We learned that. And Peyton Backer is going to step in and get the start. Peyton started the game against South Alabama. So you have the same center and the same quarterback starting in the same game. And this may be for the first time this season. I'd have to go back because with Jacob battling that injury, Aaron Dowdell, who's back at left guard now, has been in there at the center position. Peyton's played a little bit. Jacob's played a little bit. So it's been kind of a little bit of a musical chairs up front. And then also with what the stuff that's been going on in the backfield with Wesley Kennedy suspension, J.D. King kind of getting a feel for things in the offense. It just feels like offensively everything is lined up and ready to rock and roll now. And Shy, too. I mean, Shy Wirtz was battling the shoulder injury. You know, he'll tell you he was 100%. I'm not sure. He was definitely rusty with some of the option reads, too, it looked like. But, you know, he's back healthy now. It's been 16 days since they last played a game. And I just feel like this is the game where that kind of gets the rest of the season started, if you will.
Well, and it needs to, too, right? I mean, because, there's been so much stop and start and injuries and whatever else going on, and it needs to get going right now. This is the game where they need to get the season going, turn things around. I mean, they haven't been awful, but I mean, their record is probably what you thought it would be, other than maybe the Louisiana game, but Louisiana has turned out to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back to that Minnesota game. You let one get away, yeah. And it feels like almost you let something special get away.
Yeah.
But because you could have won that game, maybe you build some momentum.
And Minnesota's undefeated right now.
Minnesota's undefeated.
Ranked. I mean, now they wouldn't be ranked if Georgia Southern had won that football game, but
they are.
They'd be a 5-1 Big Ten team that you'd have a win in your back pocket over. The standings right now, App State 2-0 in the East, Georgia State, Troy, and Georgia Southern all 1-1. I apologize, Georgia State 2-1. They're 4-2 on the season, by the way. Heck of a job by Coach Elliott and that bunch up there. But Troy and Georgia Southern at 1-1, Coastal at 0-2. So this and the Chanticleers need to win this game to kind of stay in the mix, too. So it's an important game in that Eastern Division. And the crazy thing is, I said, you know, it'd been 16 days. Georgia Southern played on a Thursday, then had a bye week. So it's been 16 days since the last game. Starting with tomorrow's game, 3 games in 12 days now.
So they've got
to play
stretch.
Saturday against right. Coastal Carolina, and then the next Saturday against New Mexico State, and then the Thursday night game on Halloween against Appalachian State. So this is the crux of the season here, and the reason that tomorrow's game is big is because you want the Appalachian State game to. I mean, if you win that, you want to be able to make it stand up and go play in a conference championship. But in order for that to happen, you got to take care of business against Coastal Carolina first. Some of the other games going on this weekend in the Sun Belt, Appalachian State will take on Louisiana Monroe. They're a heavy favorite in that game. I'm going to quit making statements like I did prior to last week where, well, they're going to win that game. You know that for a fact. I'm done doing that for the year. I do it every year until something crazy happens. Something we won't get into it till later. Something crazy happens, so I'm not going to say it's a given that they're going to win. But they're a 15-point favorite there. And then the only other game in conference play tomorrow is Georgia State hosting Jeff Munkin and Army. That is a 7 o'clock kick. Army a 5.5-point favorite there. I'll never forget Coach Munkin. He was in his first year at Army, and he still comes back to the Touchdown Club every year. He's coming back this year, looking forward to it. And he came over to the table. I introduced him to everybody, and we were talking. And he said, I got to get players, Russ. I got to get players, and I'm coming to Georgia to get them. So no surprise to see Georgia State on Army's schedule. And if you go look at we know what Coach Munkin has done, although this season's not going the way he probably would want it to go. They're 3-3, and they're coming off a disappointing loss to Western Kentucky. They lost to Tulane in that crazy game, Thursday night game before that. But if you go look at the Army roster, there are a ton of kids from the state of Georgia on it. So not surprised to see him finding a way.
He knows what kind of talent is here. There's no doubt about that.
I'm scrolling through it now. You've got Kyle Terry is from Kennesaw. You've got Cole Wright from Blairsville. That's two. Rashad Bolton, of course, from Bonaire is three. Zach Bubas is from Nicholson, Georgia. I don't know where. I'm not even sure where Nicholson is. Kalen Bird's from Milton, Georgia. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Georgia. Tocoa, Covington, Sharpsburg. I mean, he went. That's what I love about Coach Munkin. And I really wish a bigger program would pick him up. When he says something, he's not. It's not for show.
No.
Russ, I got to come to Georgia and get players. Fast forward 3 years later, boom.
Nicholson, Georgia is between Athens and Commerce.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was just up that way a couple weeks ago, heading up to Charlotte on 85.
Oh, I know where Nicholson is.
Where's that?
You've driven between Athens and Commerce, right?
Yes.
About halfway, there's that 45 zone. That's Nichols.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because my wife and I were talking about that coming back a couple weeks ago. Why is it 45 in Nichols?
Man, I needed
That's
you.
That's Nichols.
I needed you in the car yesterday because before we were at Wild Wing for the midday show. Yesterday, I had to swing by McCall's because I left my Yeti cup there. Talked to Ken for a few minutes and then was headed McCall's to Wild Wing and just blew right by 96, missed my turn. What did I get there? Like almost 10 till, running late.
10 till?
It was 10. Oh, come on now.
5 till.
There's no, I couldn't pull into a parking lot at 5 till and be on the air by
Daniel
by
was getting a little
11.
Nervous.
Fear not. I got this,
I thought
man.
It was like that day at the old show.
No, we're not talking about that. It's a shame that accident had to happen in backup traffic and made me late for the show.
40 minutes.
Well, there was an accident.
I know there was.
The 247 was a standstill.
I'm so glad. I mean, there are many, many, many reasons why I'm glad we don't do the 7 a.m. show anymore. Driving on 247 is one of them.
Yeah. That sucks.
At that time of day.
Yeah. It was awful. I mean, it was. I mean, there was so much traffic. And then I can't remember exactly what happened, but there was some sort of an accident. And traffic was backed up, not to mention my alarm clock went off at 7:05. But there was a traffic backup.
There were no ads
so
in
was
the
late.
System either.
Well, I was going to put those in when I got I there that morning, which I never did that again either. So
Shirley had to talk 40 minutes straight.
Why didn't you call me?
No,
oh, you couldn't
I
answer
couldn't
the phone.
Call you. The phones were ringing. People wanted to talk, and I couldn't answer them. I mean, hold on for a second. Let me put you on hold. And we'll start talking.
See, and that's why you can be so calm, cool, and collected on the air now, because it'll never be that bad.
It will never be that again.
You have experienced radio.
My wife doesn't want to hear me talk 40 straight minutes. Nobody wants to hear that.
I don't mind.
You don't mind?
What'd you talk about?
It was something. I don't even remember. I can't remember what time of year. It was during football season.
We should do like a fundraiser or something to see who can just talk the longest.
No, I'm not going to win that. No. Well, I mean, you go ahead. I've done my 40 minutes. Let's see if you can top that.
I'd rather not. In fact, we're coming up on a commercial break right now. We got to talk to Jason Budd.
Let Jason talk for the next
Oh, have mercy. We're live at Famous Mike's Poplar Street in downtown Macon. We invite you to stop by and say hello. Some folks starting to trickle in for lunch now. Come and get it, man. The food here is so unbelievably good. The burgers, the sandwiches. He's got dinner items. We're getting ribs today. I think that's a given. It is, it's just such.
He brought you the steak.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good.
It wasn't the dinner steak. It was the breakfast steak for the steak and eggs.
Steak and eggs, yep.
And it was good to me. That is for sure. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jason Butt of The Athletic joins us. He covers the Atlanta Falcons. We'll dig into what's going on up at Flowery Branch as they get ready to host the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I wonder if they would ever consider moving their games to a smaller venue.
They're going to have to trade with Georgia State eventually and play over at Turner Field.
Georgia State ain't putting 72,000 people in the stadium.
Well, I know that, but neither are the Falcons.
No, the Falcons ain't putting 50,000 people in the stadium right now. It's going to be a small gathering.
I mean, seriously, I would like to – we'll have to ask Jason.
Yeah.
What does he think the crowd's going to be Saturday?
Yeah.
Or Sunday? Because he said last week, if they lose to the Cardinals, next week is going to be a tiny crowd.
Yeah,
and
I would imagine so.
They lost to the Cardinals.
And I'll be honest with you, on Sunday at 1 o'clock, I'm tuning in not for the football game, to see the crowd. I'm not lying. I mean, I know that's a kind of a sadistic way to look at it, but it's the truth. I want to see how many people aren't there. Because as this thing goes, I mean, it's – And not to get too sidetracked here, but see, the thing is, when the attendance starts to dwindle like that, my fear is Arthur's going to be more likely to pull the trigger and fire Dan Quinn because of the dwindling crowds. And I need Dan Quinn to stay in that role for the rest of the season because I don't want to screw this up. I need that draft pick.
Well, but who are they going to promote?
I don't know, but what if they get all fired up and excited and win like 5 in a row down the stretch and go 6-10?
Well, they're obviously not playing hard for Dan Quinn.
No,
who are they going to play hard for on that staff?
I don't know. That's a great question. Hopefully we don't ever find out. We'll take a break. Jason Butt will join us that more as we continue live from Famous Mike's right after this. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley with you here. We're live at Famous Mike's in downtown Macon. Let's talk some Falcons football now as we welcome in Jason Butt. He covers the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. Good morning, Jason. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing pretty good, man. We were just talking in the last segment. Sunday at 1 o'clock, the Falcons and the Rams will do battle at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I would expect there would be a sparse crowd there. What do you think the – not the sold tickets, but the actual butts in the seat number is going to be?
Probably south of 50,000. That would be my guess. And then they'll still announce a tickets distributed number of 73,000 or some number like that, which you'll look around and go, okay, well, that didn't happen. Which, that's par for the course for a team that's 1-5. So I definitely, considering how few people showed up to the Tennessee game, I'd expect it to be probably even less for a Rams game, which has a fan base that doesn't travel in the slightest.
Jason, when you look at this team, what do you think the biggest issue is with this team for them to be sitting here at 1-5 at this point?
They're just not good. It's as simple as that. Their defense is not on the same page with one another. The coverage is bad. The pass rush can't get to the quarterback. Communication is awful. You got guys that want to do more than just their assignment. Guys who do their assignments can't get the job done. That's why they're the worst defense in the NFL, or at least the second worst behind, with Miami maybe being the only one you could say is worse than them. Offensively, you've actually seen them pick it up and not make the costly turnovers the last couple weeks. And so you've seen improved performances there. You've seen them put up points. But when you go back to the Houston game and you put up 32 points, you should win the game. If you put up 33 points against Arizona, you should win the game. But the defense is just so out of whack and out of sync with one another, with a bunch of players who have NFL experience, for quite some seasons. So, therefore, you're just kind of left stunned at the early results through six games.
Jason Butter, The Athletic, joining us here on the program. Jason, I was kind of looking through the stuff, and I know Desmond Trufant's trying to come back from the toe injury, and Matt Ryan's having a great season, unfortunately for him. I mean, it feels like a lost year already. But when I was reading through everything and thinking about what I was going to ask you, I just kind of fly right by all of that, because it just feels like the inevitable is that Dan Quinn is going to be fired. And I just it's when he comes in for a press conference, I mean, is it awkward right now? I mean, because everybody knows he's probably in his final days as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
The one thing I can say about Dan is, for the most part, he's pretty self-aware. Not to mention, he deals with the media core. 2 years have been there, entire stint. I feel like we have a decent professional relationship. It's not like things have ever gotten testy with anybody. I think he feels like coverage has been mostly fair of how this season has gone along. I don't want to say it's been awkward with anybody. There haven't been any tense moments. I think when he has been questioned, fairly on some of these things, he's to a Dan Quinn level, tries to be transparent without giving away some personal feelings of the matter. But it's definitely I think there is of it. If they don't get the job done these next 2 weeks, the possibility is there that Arthur Blank, makes a move. It's definitely a possibility. It's something I'm willing to predict or say one way or the other, because we just don't know yet. But it's out there. It's something that you can feel. It's somewhat tangible. But at the same time, I think that and a lot of it should be credited to Dan Quinn. He, he gets up there. He acts like a professional. He doesn't let little things bother him. He doesn't blow up at these press conferences. But you definitely can feel it. But I think most guys and women in that room who cover this team, they're professionals about it. And we all know that we all have a job to do, including the head coach.
Jason, you mentioned earlier about the coverage, and you had a story today kind of tying the coverage and the pass rush as Jerome Henderson hand-to-hand. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, which one's worse? I mean, or which one would you blame more, the coverage or the pass rush?
Quite honestly, I would blame the coverage, because when you look at the numbers, the bulk of Atlanta's passing yards allowed are coming with the quarterback getting rid of the ball in 3 seconds or less. So they're not getting a lot of time to get to the quarterback. I mean, yeah, you talk about those coverage sacks. Coverage sacks don't happen all too often, especially in the NFL, where a quarterback's just sitting there for 5-6 seconds, and then the rush gets there. But, Atlanta's in the top three in the worst categories when it comes to teams getting the ball out quick. I'm sure the Arizona game didn't help, because the Arizona does a lot of premeditated quick ball kind of stuff. But you've seen it all year. You've seen quarterbacks, get rid of the ball quickly. You've seen Tyke McKinley. You've even seen Vic Beasley at times, get by their man, and they're halfway to the quarterback or they're near the quarterback and the ball's out. Credit to quarterbacks for doing that, but you don't keep seeing that with other teams. Then when you look at where the ball's going and you're seeing all this empty space, you're seeing guys out of position in zone, you're seeing them struggle when they go man-to-man. I think really the worst thing that's happened, two things that have contributed to this, and we've all seen Isaiah Oliver struggle out there, I think. It would be, by belaboring that point, it would be kind of like beating a dead horse over and over. But I do think that, on one hand, perhaps Dan Quinn should have made a move earlier this year to go with Kendall Sheffield or even Bleedy Ray Wilson ahead of Isaiah Oliver. Maybe after week two, week three, he stuck with him for a little longer. Then Desmond Trufant gets hurt. So now they're stuck, or they were stuck last week in their mind, with going with Isaiah Oliver and Kendall Sheffield. Well, Sheffield holds his own. Oliver struggles again. So now you're in a position where do you keep rolling with Oliver this week, or do you go Bleedy Ray Wilson now that he's back from a groin injury? Assuming he can go, he's been a limited participant in practice this week so far. So that, to me, kind of sticking it out with him, not getting good communication there, seeing him, he's kind of been the weakest link on this defense. Not to put everything on him, but when you have one person who's not communicating and not covering well, and then you have everybody else trying to make up and maybe not stick to their own jobs and responsibilities, the whole thing becomes out of whack. And so I kind of personally would put a lot more of the defense's struggles on the coverage than I would the pass rush, even though, they do deserve a fair share of blame. They don't have anybody, that is just – they don't have a signature pass rusher kind of guy that a lot of these other teams have. But they're not getting helped in the slightest by the secondary at all.
Jason, on the other side, you had a story about Matt Ryan earlier in the week, and I know he's putting up a lot of stats sometimes, or a lot of times, when they're chasing the lead. But when you look at him and this season is kind of being wasted, can they kind of carry the team, do you think, or is that the only way they're going to win games, is if they do carry?
Well, you never know in the NFL in terms of, which is flipping. One thing, last year the Colts went 1-5, made the playoffs, but in 2015 the Chiefs started 1-5 and then won 10 straight games. So anything can happen. Switches can be flipped like that. Who knows? Maybe a secondary personnel move all of a sudden just changes things. You just never know. But that said, obviously the early results signal that probably, which makes you think that, yeah, the offense has to score. But the problem is, like I said earlier, if you score 32 and 33 in the NFL, you should win the game. You shouldn't be in a position where you punt 3 or 4 times in a game and that's not enough. I know that earlier this week Dan Quinn said, well, there are going to be games where, the offense, you're in a game, the offense is going to have to be in a position to score more. Well, they shouldn't be, because in professional football you should have enough quality players who can get the job done defensively to where you're not giving up 34 to Arizona, not giving up 47 of the 53 to Houston. You should have a good enough crew and good enough coaching staff for that not to happen. Is it realistic for the Falcons to score 40 a week? I mean, that almost seems like right now, based on what we've seen, that's what they would have to do to ensure victory, and then that's just not realistic. So the offense can do what it has been doing, and it can continue to play great, But if the defense can't, you know, just get a handful of stops a game, then that's probably not going to be enough, unfortunately.
Jason Butt of The Athletic has been our guest. He'll have the Falcons and the Rams covered on Sunday, an intimate gathering of fans. Thanks, Jason. We always appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem. I love that description. It's the perfect way to describe it.
Use it. Feel free to use it, man.
I might steal that.
Go for it. Take care, bud.
Thanks.
All right, again, that's Jason Butt. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, every time I see Dan Quinn walk up to a podium, it's just like dead man walking. I mean, I don't think he's a bad football coach. It's just I think the message is, as we said it would, with the brotherhood and sort of the rah-rah collegiate type tactics. I mean, in professional sports, when guys are on the team for more than 3 to 5 years at a time, it kind of runs its course. It's about business.
I saw people tweeting earlier that if Dan Quinn wants to be a head coach next year, it's going to be in college. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, could Dan Quinn go be a college coach? Which he could.
Yeah.
And he might actually do better than what he's doing now with the Falcons.
Oh, would be a great fit at college. I think he's a pretty darn good defensive coordinator, too, but it's just time for the Falcons to find a new head coach. We're live at Famous Mike's in downtown Macon. I want to remind you they are open nightly Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 5 until 9 o'clock for dinners. Mike is going to join us here in the next segment. He'll tell you more about that. There's a BYOB at the bottom of that. We want to talk about that, too. Back with more of the Midday Sports Zone right after this. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley, and Famous Mike joining you here. We're at Famous Mike's in downtown Macon on Poplar Street. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm great. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing good. It's always good to be here. We thank you for having us out.
Well, I appreciate y'all being here, as always.
And one of the things we'll get into the sports stuff in a sec. One of the reasons we're here today is to promote the dinners Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. Now you're open from 5 to 9.
That's right. Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights for now. But then I'd also like to let everybody know that during the Poplar Street Light Extravaganza, I think the day after Thanksgiving, that Friday is when the Pops are playing through the New Year. We're going to be open every night, including Sundays, except for Christmas Eve and Christmas night.
That is so awesome, man. That is so awesome because my family, we always come. And in recent years, there hasn't been anywhere to eat. So we'll be seeing you one of those nights. I promise you that. We got somewhere to eat now.
Yeah, we were really busy last year, not ready for it, but we're ready for it this year. I'm bringing in some extra help. Got some old friends from high school that are going to help out.
Nice. Now, I got to ask you, at the bottom it says BYOB. Does that mean what it means
yes,
when I see BYOB?
Exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly does. And we have cold beer mugs and wine glasses. When you bring your own in, it's almost like eating for free if you don't have to pay those bar and restaurant prices.
It really is. It's amazing. When I have to drive somewhere and I just get a water, how much cheaper everything gets all of a sudden.
Yep. Man. Well, we have, I'd like to let everybody know, we have some nice steaks, hand-cut ribeyes and scallops and shrimp, so forth at nighttime. We do a red snapper that's got a roasted red pepper blanc sauce on it. It's really nice. So it's, you know, you can still get your hamburgers and your collard greens.
Yeah, but you can class it up a little bit if you want to.
Exactly.
Sounds good to me. And I know the steak you brought out earlier that you served with your steak and eggs for breakfast, man, how do you get that? I mean, I don't want you to give away your secrets, but, I mean, it was a tender cut from
It's called Terrace Major, and it's an unknown cut. It's actually the rotator cuff. People can confuse it with filet mignon. It's so tender.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I use it for my steak and eggs and any of my steak breakfast items, like over the burrito or in an omelet.
Yeah, it was really good stuff. Well, we're coming off a pretty rough sports week. How you doing?
Well, you know, I'm a Brave, I'm a dog, and I'm a Falcon. So enough said, but, you know, I got to realize when things like this happen that we will lose again.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the last time any of those teams lose. And still got high hopes. That's all you can. I call it the Shawshank Redemption. Hope is sometimes all a man can have.
That's all we got right now in the Georgia sports, that's for sure.
Yep, that's
hey,
true.
I had a friend of mine, we were at the Clemson-Charlotte game, and this guy went to the game with me, and he was sitting there. I hadn't seen him in 15 years, the guy that graduated a year behind me from high school. And he said, you know, one of these days we're going to lose again, and people are going to have to get used to it. And then the next week they played at North Carolina and almost lost.
Yeah.
And I told him, I texted him, I said, period, stop it. Don't say that again.
Yeah, well, that's sports. That's what makes it fun.
It is.
Well, let me get your take on this about the Georgia-South Carolina game, because we've been discussing it a lot this week. Is there something, quote-unquote, wrong, or was it just a bad day?
Oh, it was a horrible day. Everybody was off. Now, we had our center out. Well, that's documented, but but I believe Jake had a bad day. He was missing his receivers. I saw a few reads that he missed, and that's what they talk about. It's his, one of the things that makes him great is how he can read and progress on down to check off and stuff, and I didn't see him doing it as much. Now, that could have been because our center was out and they were pressuring him up the middle and he couldn't see him. So there's all those things. But it just proves anybody can beat anybody in the SEC on any day. You know, that it's so, yeah, well, it was a bad day. We were off. And yeah. They were on. They.
It's just the term I use for stuff like that, because just flush it and move on. I mean, what else can you do, right? I mean. I think so too. I think it was just a bad day.
Did you hear the audio of Kirby before the game telling the radio guy, "We're not ready to play"?
No, I didn't.
I mean, on the field.
No, I was working.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, to me, that is a thing where you get there and say, "Well, how does that happen? I mean, how are you not ready to play?" But it does happen. We're talking about college kids.
Yeah,
we're not talking about professionals. You know,
right.
So they're going to have days where they're just not at their best. You just hope. When they have those days, they can squeak out a win, and they still almost did.
They almost did. And you know, when the best kicker in the nation, and we know he is, misses, crazy. Has one blocked and misses one, that's an off day.
Yeah, it was.
The planets were aligned for South Carolina. And as one guy I know, Chris Floor, who's a South Carolina fan, and I'm happy for him. Because he's a great guy.
He is a big
time. He needs congratulations on his recent accolades of the award that he won. So I'm shouting out to Chris on that right now.
Yeah. No, it's I feel bad for the Kentucky football team tomorrow. I'll just put it that way. I think if
we're going to kill him.
If he didn't have their attention before, Kirby Smart has his team's attention now.
Right.
And so, look, sometimes, kind of to piggyback on what Daniel was saying, I've said it all along, when you're dealing with these kids and you see the things, you probably saw some of in the Tennessee first half that, you know, you need to tighten up on. Until they lose, it just doesn't sink in.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about, Coach? We won the game, what was it, 43-14 or something like that?
Right.
Sometimes
right.
It takes a loss to wake them up a little bit.
You know, we had, I believe, 16 or 17 freshmen and sophomores last year starting. So we're not much older this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they are kids, and they make mistakes.
All right, let me ask you about this. And we haven't really had a chance to dive into this discussion. We're getting ready to. But I need to get your thoughts on it because I know you're a big Braves fan. So Freddie Freeman, we knew he was dealing with the elbow down the stretch. He insisted he was okay and was still in there in the lineup and playing. And we find out it's official now. He's having surgery. Does that bother you?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you could have put Austin Riley over there, probably. It could have. So, but then again, I mean, being an ex-athlete, you never want to not play. It's like when it's kind of the same. Analogy maybe is when people say that somebody should retire and they don't, because who wants to stop playing that sport that they love?
Right.
So if the medical doctors had already determined that there was damage that was going to need surgery, then whoever made the decision for him to play, I was not okay with it.
Yeah.
When there's a difference between being hurt and being injured.
Right.
Injured is shouldn't be out there because you're hurting the team. You can't say he didn't hurt the team in the playoffs because he wasn't good. Now, he wasn't the only one. I'm not saying he's the reason they lost. But like you said, you don't know. Maybe you put somebody else in there, and when there's a runner on third with nobody out, they're able to get him home.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't get the job done. I feel bad for him because I understand what he was doing. Because like you said, he wants to play.
Right.
But did he hurt the team by being that determined? It may have.
He may have, but like we always say, too, it's a team sport.
Yeah.
You
got to
win his team and lose his
team.
Like Rodrigo wasn't to blame for the other day, and neither was Jake solely, you know. Yeah, that definitely – the Braves situation was extremely frustrating the way we could have won it there in the game four. But
is that
still
the one?
Another – kind of like the Dogs. The future's bright.
It
They're
is.
Young, too.
Now, and you know, look, now that we've had some time to really digest the Braves, I think the more people I talk to, game four was more of a gut-wrenching loss than giving up 10 in the first inning.
Oh, it was horrible.
Because, I mean, that's the series right there. We had it with one hit
yeah.
with runners in scoring position,
and
we're playing right now.
You almost knew when you won game, lost game four, that something disastrous was going to happen. Not,
it felt like
we
it.
Couldn't have expected 10 runs in the first, but you almost, it almost felt like something's going to happen in game five where you go, oh my God.
You know, but all that aside, I don't know if anybody can beat Washington. They're a juggernaut right now.
They're pretty good. Yeah, yeah. That pitching
with
staff,
pitching. Yeah. Their pitching, yeah, is that's the key.
They're pitching, and then they're getting timely hitting, and that's what the playoffs are about.
Yeah, that, exactly.
How many times do we see guys who are pretty good players, but they're not stars, and they come up huge in the playoffs?
Right.
And look at Howie Kendrick.
Yep.
I mean, when they need a big hit, he comes up with it.
Yep.
And they're getting great pitching and timely hitting, and that's what the playoffs are about.
Yep,
no doubt.
That's what it's about. Hey, man, we're coming up on the top of the hour here, but it's always good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Hey, man, I love it when you guys are here. I appreciate y'all.
And real quick, I mentioned it earlier, but we are going to have more information about the Skydog Benefit Concert coming up a little bit later in the year.
Oh, that's right. We're going to get Jeff on to talk about it and everything, and maybe get Glenn Harrell of Skydog and everything like that, something also, the organizer of it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, when is that this year?
Great event.
It's Sunday, November 24th, from noon to 5.
Right. There you go. And
Central Benefits, City Park.
Benefits Daybreak, and that's a great organization, so we look forward to talking about that as well. Thank you, Mike. We
thank
appreciate
you, guys.
It,
appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Mike.
That is Mike. Come by and meet Mike. He's a great guy. You ought to, if you haven't before, if you don't already know Mike, he's a funny guy, intelligent, knows his sports fan, big music fan, too. I think that's why I like Mike so much. That's my two big things are, one is sports, two is music. And three, I try to cook. Try.
He's a good dude. As good a dude as you'll meet.
Yep. We got to take a break for the top of the hour. When we come back, we're going to dive more into not just the Freddie Freeman situation, but the Atlanta Braves as well. Plenty of college football talk coming up in hour number two as well. And eventually we'll get around to opening up those phone lines because we'd love to hear from you as well. Alongside Daniel Shirley, I'm Russ Brown. We're live at Famous Mike's in downtown Macon on Poplar Street. We invite you to stop by and say hello. We'll be here broadcasting live until 1 o'clock. And remember, Mike is open for dinner Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. From 5 until 9 o'clock, BYOB. Back with more in the Midday Sports Zone right after this.
It's time to have lunch and talk sports. It's the Midday Sports Zone on Middle Georgia's ESPN.
Hour number two of the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley with you here live from Famous Mike's in downtown Macon, where he is open for lunch right now. And we're here to tell you specifically that starting now in the fall, Mike is open nightly for dinner on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night from 5 until 9 o'clock. They have the same great burgers and all the good lunch meals that you have come to know and love here on the menu, but also throw in a little steak, a little snapper, a little shrimp. So a great place to come by and get you some dinner if you can't make it to downtown Macon for lunch. And starting the day after Thanksgiving, which I know makes Mr. Grumpy Shirley happy, when the Christmas lights go on here on Poplar Street, he'll be open for dinner every night then.
Well, he said the lights were going to go on before Thanksgiving.
I thought he said after. I thought he said the day after Thanksgiving.
Is that what he said? Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm okay with it. They should not. I mean, look, I love Christmas.
Thank you, Holiday Police.
I love Christmas.
I do too.
Don't start calling and say Daniel hates Christmas. That's not true. But why do we skip? Why do we want to jump Halloween and jump Thanksgiving?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I've given up the fight.
Okay.
I've given up the fight. Thanksgiving is my favorite day of the year. Christmas is my favorite holiday. I look at Christmas as more of a season. Thanksgiving's a day. So
Thanksgiving's more than a day with the turkey, leftover turkey for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, but I mean, I work on Wednesday, I work on Friday, I work on Saturday, so it's a day.
That's true.
It's a day.
That's true.
Not that I'm complaining about the work, because it's fun.
No, it's yeah,
that's our
it's
big
great.
Georgia Tech extravaganza Black Friday show, and now Georgia State on Saturday, so Georgia Southern Georgia State on Saturday, so yeah.
Yeah. And you have to work that day.
Man, you know what? That might actually be my favorite season now that I'm thinking about it. I shouldn't call it work.
That's not work.
I really shouldn't. I shouldn't call it
work
that.
Either.
I have to show up and perform my duties. I don't know. We need a better term from work.
Stop there.
Because last night I was trying to unclog a pipe in my backyard. That was work.
That's real work.
This ain't.
Matt and I were driving home from school the other day. and the guys working on the 75 expansion, all that stuff.
Yeah.
He said, Dad, those guys are working.
That's work.
What your father does is not work.
No doubt about it. All right. We got to get into some Braves talk now, and it's uncomfortable. I'm just going to say that's the best way I know how to describe it. It's uncomfortable. Arguments are breaking out on Twitter between people that covered the team and people that cheer for the team. And if you haven't heard the news, Freddie Freeman is having elbow surgery. He sat out down the stretch. And first of all, Freddie's numbers down the stretch at the end of the season were awful, not just in the playoffs. And he sat out down the stretch to rest the elbow. He told everyone he was fine, and then the poor performance continued into the divisional series. And a lot of people on Twitter are taking the stance, and I am one of them too, that this was a very selfish decision by Freddie Freeman. He hurt his team by being in the lineup with an elbow injury. Now, did the doctor say he was fine and could play? We don't know the answer to that, and if they did, I can understand him being in the lineup from that standpoint. If you know, if he was not injured and just had a bad stretch, that happens to everybody. I can understand that, but we know because he sat out, he was injured. We know now because he had to have surgery on the elbow, he was indeed injured. And look, I'm not saying Freddie Freeman made a decision out. Tell me if this makes sense. He didn't make the decision out of being selfish, but it was a selfish decision.
I won't call it a selfish decision because he's trying to play for his team. But
if you're hurting your team by
team, but again, I don't know what the medical doctors told him. If the medical doctor said, hey, it's not going to get any worse, you're not going to hurt it, make it worse. I mean, wouldn't anybody play?
Well, here's the thing.
But again, then the production goes down. Then you got to start the season.
That's the kicker for me here. And these are just the regular season numbers down the stretch. It doesn't include the playoffs. But from September 11th to September 29th, Freddie Freeman in 49 plate appearances batted .128 with a .286 OBP, .154 slugging, and an OPS of .440. Because of the elbow,
right? And was he hurt or was he injured? I mean, it looks like
he was injured because he's having surgery. That's right. The point. I mean, we know now he was injured. So, look, this I'm going to play 162 games, and I'm going to bat third in the lineup. That's out the window now because you made a decision. I'm not saying he's a bad person, but he – and I understand the wanting to be in the lineup, wanting to carry your team, you know, wanting to come through to help your team win in a big situation. He stuck it out through some very difficult times during the rebuild, didn't pout. Didn't get his head down, did everything the organization asked him to do, was a mentor, was a leader. He's done all of those great things, but you cannot say he did not hurt his team by this decision.
Agreed. But that's why I also won't call it selfish because of all the reasons you led up to that. I think he did hurt the team, or whoever let him make the decision hurt the team. I don't think it was just his decision. I can't believe that whoever's involved said, well, Freddie's hurting us, but he says he's okay. He can play. I think there's got to be higher oversight than that. There's got to be somebody that says, Freddie, you're hurting us. You got to sit.
Right. And now this is a trust issue now, right?
Right. Definitely is.
And it's one of a long list of things now as a Braves fan that this offseason is going to be interesting. The end of the season was definitely difficult, and this doesn't make it any easier. I threw out a Twitter poll earlier asking the question, what was the biggest storyline this offseason for the Atlanta Braves? And this did not include the elbow surgery recovery for Freddie Freeman as one of your answers. But there were three choices: possibility of signing free agent pitchers, Josh Donaldson, or the possibility of a chop ban. So far through 52 votes, half the people that have responded has said free agent pitchers. The possibility of a chop ban is number two on this list. And if you haven't heard that, there's more to this story that we talked about it in the moment. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution did a story, and basically what's happened is a couple of tribes specifically the Muskogees and the Cherokee Nation are saying that they want the Braves to stop doing the tomahawk chop, that they do find it offensive. Principal Chief Chuck Hoskins Jr. said in a written statement to the AJC, the Cherokee Nation is proud of tribal citizen and Cardinal pitcher Ryan Helsley for speaking out against stereotypes and standing up for the dignity of Native Americans in this country. Hopefully Ryan's actions will better inform the national conversation about inappropriate depictions of Native Americans. And now we have, as I've said all along, tell me when a Native American is offended by this. Now we have
They are. Are there at least they? These two groups have
these
spoken
two tribes.
Out. Right.
Now, the Seminole tribe, who fully backs Florida State with Chief Osceola and the spear and the tomahawk chop, would not comment specifically about the Braves' tomahawk chop. But, see, and that's where this is the mistake people start to make, okay? They say Native Americans and try to lump all these tribes into one group. And that's not. No,
it's
no.
Not true.
You've got the Muskogees. They're based out of this group is based out of Oklahoma. The Cherokee Nation they're referencing in this AJC article is based out of Oklahoma. You've got an eastern band of the Cherokees out of North Carolina who, by the way, have signage in the stadium for Harris Cherokee Casino. All right? And they said that they want the Braves to stop doing the chop as well in this article. And then you have the Seminole tribe. These are the four that in this that didn't support it but aren't going to speak out against it because, I mean, it would be kind of hypocritical to support it at Florida State and then say the Braves need to stop doing it. So I can see where that stance comes from. But this is a real conversation that is going to be had. And I have a feeling that in the very near future, the Braves will be doing away with all of this. I think that's where this is going to lead.
Do you think they would ever change the nickname, the mascot? I mean, like, if these groups came out and said Redskins offends them, would that team ever change? The Braves, the Indians, the Blackhawks. I mean, it's not just the Braves.
No, well, the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that question. And I've asked this question before, and I'm going to ask it again. And every time I ask it, people that disagree with my stance – call me ignorant, but they can't explain it to me. So if you hear what I'm about to say and you want to say, well, he's just ignorant, well, educate me so I won't be ignorant. But if I don't understand how that is offensive, but Cowboys isn't, Irish isn't, Mariners isn't, I don't understand that. Is it right or wrong to name a mascot about a group of people after a group of people?
Well, I guess the one thing with Cowboys is it's not Cowboys can be any ethnic group. Mm-hmm. You can be anybody and be a Cowboy.
Sure.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
The Mariners, too. Mariners anybody too. Can be a
right.
Mariner.
Right.
But what about Fighting Irish?
Well, if the Fighting Irish, if Irish people are offended by that, but see, they embrace it. You know, most people I know who are Irish love the fact that Notre Dame is the Fighting Irish.
And the Leprechaun.
Yeah, and all that stuff.
Well, so. And it would be like the Seminole tribe embracing right. what Florida State
right.
does. Yeah. It's always been an interesting conversation to me.
Again, I don't tell people what to be offended by.
Right.
I stay away from that. There are things I don't like, but that's not my place. It's not my place to tell you who to vote for. It's not my place to tell you what religion to be.
I'm
going to
tell you to come eat lunch at Mike's.
Well, it's our place to tell you to come eat lunch at Mike's. And we're right. Put it on the ticket. We're right about it. So.
Yeah. So I just but this is all going to end. I'm telling you right now. This is a prediction on my part. This is all going to end with a tomahawk chop going away. And I will say this. Now, in the article, nobody said anything about the team name, except there is one lady that was interviewed that does a podcast based out of Oklahoma that said that, I mean, she just went all in on every – she's obviously – very sensitive young lady, and everything offends her.
Well,
but,
I mean, Syracuse was the Orange Men.
Now they're the Orange.
Now they're the Orange. I mean, there have been some teams that have made those kinds of changes.
Stanford was the Indians.
Stanford's
now
right,
they're
the
Cardinal.
They're the Cardinal. Yeah.
I would say this: if they do want the Braves to change the name, I wouldn't have a mascot. I would keep the same colors and just be called the Atlanta baseball team.
Yeah, because you could also, like, we've seen some teams that are the Warriors, mm-hmm. and they had that connotation to it, and they've changed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be a Warrior and not be Native American. You could probably do the same thing with Brave. I mean, somebody can be Brave and not, you know, you could.
Do you change the colors to camouflage?
You could. You could.
That'd be cool.
Very well could.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I mean, there's some of that to this, too. And look, if people are offended by it, again, it's not our place to tell them what to be offended by or what not to be.
At some point, you hope it stops. because eventually we're not going to be able to have thoughts or opinions about anything. You're not going to – I mean, it's right. taken – I mean, a lot of comedians are starting to come out and speak out against this political correctness, and I'm glad they are because, I mean, you're taking all the flavor out of life. I mean, I'm not – I don't – you know, I'm not sitting here saying that we need to be jerks and offend people left and right and screw their feelings. I'm not saying that, but, I mean, it's – You know,
you only say that about me.
Yeah, well,
nobody else.
But there is a line.
But wait till
and it feels like we're crossing the line of past of it's looking for reasons to be offended now, as opposed to going, oh wow, you know what, that really hurt my feelings, as opposed to walking out the front door and going, okay, who's going to hurt my
right.
feelings today?
Well, it's like Dave Chappelle. I mean, you watch Dave Chappelle's stand up. Some of it, you go ooh, and you kind of cringe, but then some of it. You really laugh at it. And,
yeah.
And different people are cringe-worthy by different things.
Well, see,
and that's okay.
And real quick, we got to get a break. Because you mentioned Chappelle. This is a great example. His last stand-up, he goes into a part of his bit, and it was offensive.
It was pretty offensive, yeah.
And I turned it off.
And that's okay.
I'm not going to protest Dave Chappelle or say, well, he shouldn't be allowed to perform.
But you know
what? And I'd probably still buy a ticket to his show because I think he's funny.
Right.
But just turn it off.
But you know what he said during that same one? I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
He said, you people are the same people that clicked on my face on Netflix.
Right.
You knew what you were getting.
Right.
Turn it off.
Turn it off. It's not that complicated. All right. We got to take a break. We'll open up the phone lines as we do, 478-646-ESPN. Anywhere you want to go in the world of sports is fine with us. When we come back, we'll dig a little bit deeper into the Georgia-Kentucky game coming up tomorrow. Have your umbrellas ready. That and more as we continue live from Famous Mike's right after this. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown and Daniel Shirley with you here. We're live at Famous Mike's in downtown Macon on Poplar Street. And it is popular on Poplar Street right now, man. This place is packed and stacked for lunch. Glad to see a good lunch crowd out today here at Famous Mike's. We invite you to come by and have some lunch with us. We'll be eating around 1 o'clock or so. If you can't make it down for lunch, remember Mike is open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights now from 5 until 9 o'clock, BYOB, and come check out the great dinner menu as well. All right, so tomorrow, college football now. Georgia hosts Kentucky at 6 o'clock. Games on ESPN. Georgia 25-point favorite. And you know, we were talking with Mike about this earlier in the show, Daniel, and you pointed out what Kirby Smart said on the pregame show about the team not being ready to play. That leads me to two things. Number one, the team will come out focused and ready to play against Kentucky. They'll blow them out, and now it gets back to the business of getting to Atlanta and trying to win the SEC championship. What the South Carolina game has changed is I said if they could get to the championship game undefeated, they were in the playoffs. Didn't have to win the SEC championship. Now I think they have to win the SEC championship. The second thing, Florida's a 5-point favorite tomorrow in Columbia. Take the Gators. Because I have a feeling that South Carolina spread is based off the fact that they beat Georgia. We know. We've seen South Carolina play this season. That is an incomplete football team with an injured backup starting at quarterback. Florida, ranked 9th in the country, hung with LSU pretty good down in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night. I think Florida is a little bit more than 5 points better than South Carolina.
And they beat Auburn,
yeah.
too, remember?
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I think we're going to see South Carolina kind of come back to earth a little bit. You know, again, the Helinski kid is a terrific young player, and he plays hard and he fights. But again, he's hurt. We were just talking about Freddie Freeman, right? Hurting his team. I don't think that the kid is they would let him play if he's going to hurt the team. But how healthy is he? And what happens the first time he gets hit? Do they have to go to the third string quarterback again? And try to beat Florida that way. I think Florida will win this game a couple of touchdowns. That's just, you know, going into it. I think that this Florida team, look, they lost last week, but that was a game either team really could have won going into the fourth quarter. LSU pulls away, wins the game. This Florida team, to me, looks like a team that could right the ship pretty quickly. Go on the road, beat South Carolina, and then kind of get ready for that Georgia game coming up in a few weeks. But Yeah, I don't think this is a team. I don't think this is a South Carolina team that can beat Georgia and Florida in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
They had their week last week when Georgia wasn't ready to play.
Yeah.
Florida will be ready to play.
Yeah, they're not. And see, that's the other thing, too, is because now when you get to this part of the season, you're dealing with teams like Georgia and Florida that have one loss. They don't have that room for error that they had previously. So
And also, South Carolina probably got Florida's attention last week.
Well, if South Carolina
loses, maybe Florida's not overlooking them. They're not going to be overlooking South Carolina tomorrow.
Right, right. And look, South Carolina had a really good win against Georgia last Saturday, but that doesn't change the fact they're a 3-3 football team. That's just it was a bad loss for Georgia, period. They lost to a mediocre football team. Should never happen, but you know what? It did. And now you got to pick up the pieces and move on. Other games in the SEC tomorrow, Auburn is at Arkansas. Auburn's a 19.5 point favorite there. LSU visits Mississippi State. They're a 17.5 point favorite in that one. LSU is Missouri. I keep saying they are. LSU is. It's like it should be a foregone conclusion. You know, I was looking at the SEC standings yesterday. There are 8 teams in the conference that are 500 or below overall in the season. So, and then the other 6 teams are so daggum good that that's why you get these matchups where it's just like, eh. A lot of, you know, point spreads in the 20s because there's Texas A&M may be like the only kind of in-between team in the conference right now. It's either these teams are really good or they're kind of bad.
Well, we thought Texas A&M would be in that top group, and they haven't been. And so what are they going to be? Can they right the ship the second half of the season? You're right. I think they're the one that's kind of, I'm not going to say mediocre, but they're the one that you just don't know about right now.
Yeah. Well, you look at the East: Missouri, Florida, and Georgia, 5-1, 6-1, 5-1. The rest of the team: South Carolina, 3-3, Tennessee, 2-4, Kentucky, 3-3, Vanderbilt, 1-5. Then you look over to the West: Alabama, 6-0, LSU, 6-0, Auburn, 5-1, and then you've got Ole Miss at 3-4, Mississippi State, 3-3, Texas A&M, 3-3. Although I think I don't know if this makes sense. Better than that, I'd go with me on that. And then Arkansas at 2-4. So it's a lot of feast or famine right now, which is why in the weeks where, you know, the Missouris, the Floridas, the Georgias, the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Auburns play each other, it's going to be really interesting. On the weeks when they don't, which is why LSU and Mississippi State's your 3:30 game.
And this is an week.
Yeah.
But, again, I think somebody pulls off an upset in the SEC this week.
All right, you got to tell me who now. We'll go through the rest of the schedule really quick. Okay. We've got Florida at South Carolina, Auburn at Arkansas, LSU at Mississippi State, Missouri at Vanderbilt, Kentucky at Georgia, Texas A&M's at Ole Miss, and Tennessee is at Alabama.
It's LSU at Mississippi State?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Whoa.
There's my one right there.
Whoa.
I would not bet on it because I don't bet.
Yeah.
But something.
And if you do, I'm not calling it a bomb threat to save your butt.
No, this feels like the epitome of a trap game.
Wow.
Alabama's next, right?
Wow.
For them. Not next, but yeah, they got a week off before Alabama.
No, Auburn's next, and then
that's
Alabama.
Right. They got Auburn and then a week off.
It's like a double trap game.
But don't they have a week off before Alabama? I think they do.
Yes. Yeah, they'll play Mississippi State, and then next week Auburn, then they're off, then Alabama.
I think this is the one that bites them.
I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to put that out in the Twitter sphere.
It's just stupid Daniel making a guess, but that's the one that feels like it could bite somebody.
Yeah, all right.
I don't think Florida's going to lose. I don't think Georgia's going to lose. I don't think Auburn's going to lose. This LSU game, everybody is talking them up. They're going to win the national title. We've said it.
Yeah, oh,
they're the best team in the country through the first half.
They're my number one team right now.
They got Auburn and Alabama coming up next. We're going to overlook Mississippi State.
Oh, wow.
So what happened to Georgia last week?
That's exact. No. I think it's a great pick. I thought you were going to go Missouri-Vanderbilt, but you know what? No, that's a good pick. We'll see if it plays out. All right, real quick, some stuff to catch up here on the Twitterverse before we get a break. By the way, the phone lines are open, 478-646-ESPN. Tate makes a good point. Earlier in the program, we were talking about, I was saying how I don't want Dan Quinn to get fired until the season's over. And Tate asked the question, if I remember correctly, Dirk, talking about Dirk Cutter, got the Tampa job because he went on a winning streak as an interim coach.
That's right.
That's what you got
to
watch out for.
Don't want that to happen.
No, that would be a nightmare scenario.
What was he, their head coach, 3 years?
About 3 years, Andy on Twitter, he's delivering cattle down in Cordill, said he was picking us up down there at about exit 101. Signal was an 8 out of 10. Good to hear that.
Great.
Thanks for listening, Andy. Hope you got the cows home safely. And J-Rad on Twitter, the latest I've heard is the Statue of Liberty must come down because it's not gender fluid. This insanity has to stop. The pyramids were built by slaves. Tear them down. I mean, but there does seem to be a lot of picking and choosing when it comes to stuff like
this. Well, that's true.
And that's part of the problem, too. And that's why it's like, you got to pick a lane here. Either we're gonna learn to laugh a little bit better and say we're sorry when we make a mistake and accept forgiveness and be forgiven, or we're going to slam the door shut on everything. Nobody gets to have any fun, and we all wear the same clothes. We all paint our houses the same color. We all shop at the same stores. We all eat the same food because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I mean, you got to pick a lane at some point.
It's amazing what we've become as a country. But, again, I'm not telling anybody what to be offended by. I'm not. It's not my place.
Yeah.
It's not my – I know what I'm offended by. I'm not going to tell anybody else what to be. Because some people may think what I'm offended by is stupid.
Yeah.
That's fine. Those are my thoughts.
Yep.
And we are allowed to have our own feelings, too. Yep. But we have gone a little bit over the top with some things.
I would say if somebody offends you, explain it, accept their apology, and forgive them.
And move on.
I think we need, as opposed to political correctness, maybe we need more forgiveness.
I think that's true for sure.
That might go a little ways as well. We'll take a break. Phone lines open, 478-646-ESPN. Back with more right after this. Welcome back into the Midday Sports Zone. Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley with you here. We are live at Famous Mike's on Poplar Street in downtown Macon, GA, where Mike is open for dinner now, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. He does this in the fall from 5 until 9 o'clock. And once the switch gets flipped on the Christmas lights after Thanksgiving, he'll be here nightly. So come by and get you something good to eat at Famous Mike's. We'll be scarfing down some lunch here in just a few. I'm looking forward to the ribs.
Yeah, I'm going to dig into some ribs, too. And I'm telling you, this may not sound like a huge thing. He's got the best corn I've ever had in my life. And I love corn. But some ribs and a big thing of hot corn, man. We've got 27 minutes. I'm counting down the minutes.
Not that anybody.
You talk for the next 27 minutes, and I'm going to go eat some ribs.
All right, yeah. All right, so last time we were talking some SEC football. Let's talk some ACC football. We were telling you know.
Do we have to?
Briefly.
Okay.
Like we said in the last segment, if you look at the SEC standings, you got six really good teams, and then you've got eight mediocre teams. In the ACC, it feels like you've got one really good team, maybe two or three mediocre teams, and then a bunch of really, really bad this year.
And then just teams.
Just
right.
Just guys hanging out, you know, doing stuff. Who
would you say in the ACC, obviously Clemson is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the next group? And we're not going to label them good, bad, whatever.
Okay.
Who's the next group?
Okay, I would say Louisville, Wake Forest, NC State, Duke, Virginia, Pitt, and Virginia Tech. And I'm just going to base it off record because that's the only – because, see, the thing is, you can look at – like, all right, like in the SEC, you can look at Texas A&M and see they're 3-3. But you can read through that. Those losses are Auburn, Clemson, and Alabama.
Right.
Right? So
– I mean, they're going –
this sounds
silly,
but 3-3 doesn't necessarily mean 3-3 in that situation.
If they're 8-4 and their losses are Alabama, Auburn, Clemson, and Georgia, well, and then they got to play LSU too. So
right.
They're 7-5. 7-5 is not a bad record.
Not for them. And if they're 8-4, they might be in the top 20, and they should be.
Because
that means you would have beaten
one of those teams
you mentioned.
I would say Wake Forest, Louisville, NC State, Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then maybe Duke. I don't know that I trust Duke. I got to see it from Duke a little bit more.
I could see that.
But then it's – the rest of them.
It's a crapshoot.
And then Georgia Tech by themselves.
Well, and that's what we said on yesterday's show. If you've got time to kill and want a fun exercise, rank the ACC 1 through 14. Clemson's 1, Georgia Tech's 14. Good luck with the rest of it.
And, like, going into last week, I would have thought Miami would be 13th.
Yeah.
And then they beat Virginia.
Yeah.
Syracuse. I don't know what to do with Syracuse. So, there's –
I'll say this. I don't think Syracuse is very good.
No, I don't either.
They've scored 16 points in two conference games.
I think Syracuse missed Dungy. Probably 13th right now.
Yeah.
But 2 to 12? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, I think Boston College could probably beat Duke if they played them.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
I just don't know. I have no idea.
It's kind of fun because it's like some of the teams in the Atlantic have caught whatever the Coastal's had for the last few years, and it's fun to watch it play out because you don't know what's going to happen. Doesn't mean anything in the big picture, but you don't know how it's all going to play out. It starts tonight, Pittsburgh and Syracuse. Coin flip. Pitt's a 4-point favorite, 7 o'clock on ESPN. You tell me.
I mean, we're talking about Syracuse being 13th. Well, what if they beat Pitt tonight? And they could.
And who knows? Who knows? Clemson's at Louisville, which is,
2 weeks ago, Louisville looked like garbage.
Yeah, Clemson's a 24-point favorite here. Do you think that's too high?
I think probably. I think they win 31-10, something like that.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns.
NC State at Boston College. NC State's a 3-point favorite in this one. Who knows who's going to win that?
Who knows?
Georgia Tech at Miami. Miami's an 18-point favorite. We know who's going to win
we
that.
We know who's going to win that one.
Yeah. Right. North Carolina.
We know.
North Carolina, Virginia Tech. North Carolina, a 3.5-point favorite. Duke, Virginia. Virginia, a 3-point favorite. Florida State, Wake Forest. Wake, a 1.5-point favorite. I mean, it's in a lot of ways, it's fun because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
But it just, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't mean anything.
No, the thing about it is, those aren't great teams. And if you want to say the ACC is not a good league, that's fine. There's, I'll agree. It's not a great league this year.
No, it's not.
They've had a bad start. But, damn, don't tell me it's not interesting. I mean, come on. I mean, seriously, look at those games and pick a winner from those games and be confident.
You can't.
Of those seven games.
You can't.
Two of them you can be confident who's going to win.
The Clemson game and the Georgia Tech game.
And the Georgia Tech game.
Which goes back to Clemson's 1
and
Georgia
14.
Tech's 14. Good luck figuring
those
out
the rest.
Those
other five, if you bet on those other five games, you got bigger cojones than I do.
Or a lot of discretionary income.
Or you have a lot of money and you don't care.
Right. Oh, Lord have mercy. But it'll be another interesting week to see how it plays out. You know, Georgia Tech is 18th in the country, or 18-point underdog. They're not 18th in the country. They might be the 18th
worst
team. They're
18th in the ACC.
Yeah, no kidding. and here we go again, asking the question. I mean, where's the improvement going to come from? They're 18-point dog.
Right. They're saying they're seeing improvement. They're seeing it in how they're playing.
Do you believe them?
Well, they're not going to come out and say, we suck.
Yeah.
We're not improving. We're getting worse. I don't think they are getting worse.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on.
The reason I ask that, and there's different philosophies. Not everybody's the same. We don't all have to agree. We covered that in the last segment. But I just think there are some coaching staffs that are going to look at what's happened on the field. And they're going to come, and you're going to sit down, and you're going to have a conversation, and they're going to tell you this is going on, this is going on, this is going on, this has gotten better, this needs improvement, this I think is getting worse, and this is a problem for us. And then I think there's some coaching staffs that are going to sit there and say, okay, what's our message going to be in press conferences this week?
And that's what this is.
And I think that's what the Georgia Tech coaching staff is, which is why you get this universal, we're seeing improvement from the offensive coordinator, we're seeing improvement from the head coach. Which for me, when you take that approach for messaging and branding, which I know is a big thing right now, I'm just telling you, there are people in this world like myself that when you use that strategy, my default setting is to not believe you.
It wears thin, right? It is thin, thin, thin. And you ask me, do I believe them? I believe they believe what they're saying.
Okay. And sometimes that's the only thing
that matters. I don't believe that they are improving.
Well, we're not seeing it statistically. We're not seeing it on the scoreboard. You know, I would like to hear more specifics if they could give it, you know, and not just say, well, we're seeing small steps here. Like, specifically what? Is the left guard had did he grade out higher?
Right.
Or,
well, say that Dave Patton had said he is seeing improvement from James Graham with how he's dropping, with how he's seeing the field.
Yeah.
Those things, okay, I can give you that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to say that on an individual basis.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing improved play from the group.
Yeah. Maybe that starts to show up in Miami. I do think settling on James Graham as the quarterback moving forward is a huge step in the right direction.
Is that a...
So I will say, I mean, as far as what they're trying to do, they're moving, and I didn't feel like they were moving in the right direction in the first part of the season. I feel like that's been rectified, and now they're moving in the right direction. But they put themselves so far behind the eight ball.
Right.
I mean, the transition was going to be tough as it is. I think this coaching staff made it harder on themselves, A, by allowing Tobias Oliver to continue to play quarterback, and B, not settling on a quarterback. I think they hurt themselves and stunted their growth, if you will.
I do, too. And is James Graham at quarterback a long-term answer, or is that a get-us-through-this-year answer?
I think it depends on who's in the transfer portal and who you can convince to come play quarterback in Atlanta. That's my honest answer. I think it all depends because, Daniel, if you're Dave Patino, if you're Jeff Collins, I mean, the message to the team is positive. The team's bought in. That's great. But I don't know which one you want to be. You probably would rather be Patino, so I'll be Jeff Collins. And we're sitting in a meeting room, and we're talking about personnel for next year. Well, the first thing we're going to do is open the transfer portal. Let's be honest. And we're looking for quarterbacks and offensive linemen specifically.
Let's say Chase Bryce said he would transfer to Georgia Tech. James Graham's not going to be the starting quarterback next year. Chase Bryce is the starting quarterback.
And look, what we said about part of the transition is the fact that you're going to have to find not just one quarterback. You're going to have to find multiple quarterbacks because you're not going to have the depth. But at the same time, I don't understand why they haven't been more of an option-oriented attack. Not necessarily out of the flex bone like they ran in the past, but you could do a lot of that stuff out of the shotgun and still, you know, sell people on your we're a pro-style offense, which isn't true stuff.
Well, I do think what you said is right. If they would have settled on James Graham, and look, he was hurt.
Sure.
And he's been behind because of academics and all this stuff. All this stuff's true. If they'd have settled on him after the Clemson game, because it was pretty clear in the Clemson game who was the best quarterback of the three. And I know he was playing late in the game, and he was playing against some of Clemson's backups. The touchdown he threw was on Kevon Wallace, who's the starter. It was clear to me in the stadium who was the best option. And look, I love Tobias Oliver. He's not a passing quarterback. What can he do for us to make us better? Put him at receiver.
Yeah.
If they do that, then I don't think they lose to the Citadel. And I think they beat the Temple. They beat Temple.
Right. And how much better is their offense today versus what it actually is going to Miami? I mean, and it's not going to change the outcome of the games, I don't think. I mean, we're not talking about that kind of improvement. But the Georgia Tech has yet to be competitive in any game outside of South Florida in the Citadel.
Yeah, because the other games they're falling behind early, and, yeah, they're coming back in the second half. Duke.
It's not competitive.
And North Carolina, both of them, they were behind, and they had to come back to make it look better.
Sounds like the Falcons.
Again, I think if James Graham was the starter going into week two, they would have at least two more wins.
Yep.
Well, and then things feel better.
Yeah, nothing feels good right now. Now you got to deal with the fans, because the fans all along – I mean, it's one thing to say we're ready for the transition. I don't think they really bought that. And now it's slapping them in the face, and now they're dealing with disappointment.
I don't think they knew how big of a transition it was.
Yeah.
And that's the saving grace for this coaching staff. And they're playing it up.
Well, yeah.
Oh, this is a historic transition, and this is this transition, and this. I mean, they're not – they won't stop talking about it, and maybe that's their message, too, to try to save their jobs. I'm not saying they're going to get fired or anything, but – to get people off their back.
Okay. After that, a historic transition, huh? Just remember there was a team in 2014 that went away from the flex bone and became the first team to ever elevate from the SCS to the FBS and go 8-0 and win their conference. So I don't know how much of that I buy because I've seen it firsthand.
There's a lot of talk.
Yeah.
I need to see, and not even results.
We're not looking for a win.
We didn't think they were going to win a lot of games this year.
Be competitive.
Just be competitive.
That's in the game. Go to the locker room. Still in the game.
Go to the locker room at halftime with a chance to win the game. We haven't seen that twice.
Be within two touchdowns of Miami tomorrow at halftime.
They've done that twice this year, and they lost one of those games.
We got to take a break. We'll wrap it up live from Famous Mike's right after this. .49, Russ Brown, Daniel Shirley, wrapping it up here from Famous Mike's. What is this? It's like a tiny
cream.
Mason jar. Cream? Why do you put that in your coffee?
Because I don't like black coffee. So I drink... I told you my dad says I drink soup.
Soup? Yeah.
It's coffee with...
Because that's like full-on like cream.
Right. Coffee and cream and sugar.
Well, am I...
Because you drink black coffee.
Yeah. I'm not...
Put your mic down so people can hear you.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put... I got a little bit of coffee left.
You do?
So I'm going to put like, what, 2 drops?
It's probably cold, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, but okay. 2 drops.
Sure.
Maybe 3.
And see if you like it.
And just swish it around and see what we got here.
I mean, you've never had cream before? You've never put cream in your coffee? Ever?
No.
Really? Okay.
Why would I do that? I want if I wanted cream, I'd get cream. If I want coffee, I get coffee. It's like, I don't understand. I don't mix things. I don't mix drinks. I don't do mixed drinks.
You don't?
No. Coffee or cream.
What's your favorite drink?
Like beverage?
Alcohol
period?
Drink. Not beer. Your favorite liquor drink. I mean, is it just bourbon?
There's a particular flavor I like. Okay. But they're not a sponsor, so I'm not going to say it.
Okay. Like, I like Long Island iced tea.
See, really? When's the last time you had one of those?
About a year ago.
Really? I'm going to hang out with you next time you have a long
time. Those
are
good. That used to be the go-to for college, Daniel.
No, I like...
So you don't like mixed drinks?
I have a particular brand of bourbon I like, and I'll pour it over ice and sip on it.
So that's is that a local brand?
It's a brand new brand. Again, they're not a sponsor. It's in a very old brand that goes back across the ocean. But they're legal now.
So you don't drink mixed alcohol drinks?
No.
It's got really loud real sudden.
Because you leaned all up in the mic like you're about to make out with it.
I'm surprised that you don't drink drinks. Like mixed drinks.
No. I mean, I don't. I mean, why? What's the point? I tell you, if... I tell you what's good is if you put bourbon, I mean, ginger ale in like bourbon's good. I know some people that drink that do mixed drinks, and I've tasted it before, and it's good. But no, I mean, why? Why do I need to mix it with something else?
I'm just asking. I like Long Island iced tea.
All right, well, keep talking. I'm going to see what this cream's all about. Is that the right color? Did I do that right?
That's what mine looks like.
See, good.
You're
God.
Close. You need about 2 pounds of sugar in there, too. To get some taste in it. Because coffee doesn't have a taste.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't have a good taste. Let's say that.
Wuss. This is disgusting.
Wow. Look at you going after Mike. Why would you go after Mike like that?
I mean, that tastes more like milk than coffee.
Oh, sure.
Then why wouldn't I just get a glass of milk?
Well, you can. But I do like the caffeine in the coffee. But I will not drink black coffee. I have drank black coffee. I don't like it. I told you, my dad mocks me every time he sees me do that.
I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make fun of your cute little coffee drink over there.
How many of the pockets of these little things, sugar things I went through for one cup of coffee?
One? I hope.
Six.
Six? You put 6 packs of sugar and all that cream in your coffee?
Right. Well, I mean, the coffee was up to the lid. I put like 2 little drops of cream. I don't put much cream in there.
Oh, okay.
But I put a lot of sugar in it.
Why don't you just get sweet tea?
I don't like tea. You like tea, right?
Sure. Yeah. I will say this. As I've gotten older, if I don't drink sweet tea anymore. I'll do half and half.
My wife drinks unsweet tea.
I'm to the point now I'd rather drink tea without sugar in it.
And people make a face at her when she orders it.
No, then nobody makes a face at me. When I order it. I mean, I would rather drink it than I would rather have it unsweet than sweet at a restaurant because people put so much daggum sugar in it. I'm not a big sugar person.
I remember growing up, the people across the street, the woman used to make hot sweet tea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so good. And eat like saltine crackers with it. Oh, it was so good. That's about as southern as I get. Really, really hot sweet tea and saltine crackers.
Dude, you're southern every time you open your mouth. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't. Come
I'm
on
hit
now.
With my culinary enjoyments.
Gosh. All right. Well, I've now had coffee.
You've had coffee. I can't believe you've never had cream in your coffee.
No.
And now you probably never will again.
That's the first and the last. I don't even know. I mean, and it's and look, you know, I must be in the minority because every time I order coffee, if it's somebody that doesn't know me, yeah, I'd like a cup of coffee. All right. How much cream and sugar?
None.
Zero, please. Yeah,
there are some people, like my dad only drinks it black.
Yeah, that's the only one. I mean, why?
I think you have to. I think most people I know are one or the other. They won't do both. Like, people I know who drink black won't drink it with cream, and people I know with cream won't drink it black.
Like, my mama has all these, like, jars of, like, flavored stuff and stuff she puts in there, and it's just too much.
I usually just use milk.
Yeah?
And I love milk. I probably drink more milk than anybody. I could be a milk spokesperson.
Yeah, I'm a big milk fan.
Milk, much milk as I drink.
It's not my coffee.
Not in your coffee. Okay.
All right. So what we talk about
coffee
when it's,
for Russ. When boring black coffee Russ.
That's fine. Call me boring. It's good to me.
It's awesome.
It's to me.
It is good to me.
Well, this is what we do when all the sports teams in our state suck.
We talk black coffee or cream coffee.
So next week. So, all right. Georgia's going to beat Kentucky, right? Georgia Southern. I'm expecting a good day tomorrow against the Chanticleers. I don't think Georgia Tech has any shot against Miami.
If Georgia doesn't beat Kentucky, how many people are going to be jumping off the bridge over here Saturday night?
Dude, I'll tell you right now, if Georgia loses to Kentucky, I'm dead serious. You know what we're talking about on Monday?
The Hawks.
Amen.
I mean, what if they just don't even – not they lose, because I don't think they can lose. What if they just don't play well and it's close again?
Look, this is where the fan and the coach talk separate. Because all you're trying to do if you're Georgia tomorrow is score more points than Kentucky. That's all you're trying to do. You ain't worried about style points. The style points, broadcasters and fans, we talk about style points. I can guarantee you that the term style points has not been used inside the Butts Mirror building. I can guarantee you that. But if they play a close game against Kentucky – we're no longer talking about Georgia as a playoff contender.
No, I don't think so. Because Kentucky's not good.
Well, it's not just that. That's part of it. But we've seen Alabama play South Carolina, right?
Right.
And we've seen Georgia play South Carolina. And everybody talking about Clemson's close win against North Carolina. North Carolina beat South Carolina.
They did. Now it was close.
You know, but let me say this. And I go back to what I've said all week. Because we're kind of doing the hypothetical. If then, that ain't going to happen. I expect
so
Georgia to win by at least 24 points tomorrow.
I do too. I think this is a wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's kind of a semi-wake-up call. I don't think they can get into the playoffs.
It's going to be very difficult. And look, the things that people are talking about after the loss, more so than we were before the loss, about the downfield passing and the pass protection – receivers getting separation, Jake Fromm missing reads. Those things are what could cost you against Florida. Those are the things that could cost you against Auburn. They may lose both of those games. But even with all of that against South Carolina, you should still beat the Gamecocks.
You still win the game.
When did it first occur to you that Georgia might lose that football game to South Carolina? Well, you weren't really able to watch it. The pick six?
Pick six, I went, oh, boy. Like I said earlier this week, I thought they would get in halftime and regroup.
Yeah.
And the pick six, I went, uh-oh.
When Rodrigo Blankenship missed the field goal in overtime, that's the first time I thought Georgia was going to lose that game. I kid you not.
It's still hard to believe.
Because you know what? I mean, you can have a bad day, but you still find a way to win, and they didn't. So it's but again,
and people are comparing it to Clemson and North Carolina. Clemson won the North Carolina game.
Yeah, well, I think it's
a
good comparison,
right? But they found a way.
Yeah, and then Dabo got their attention. Right.
Chewed some behind.
He said so himself. I mean, he got their attention. I would imagine Kirby did the same thing after the Tennessee game, but it wasn't sinking in. I think the message will sink in now. We're out of time. Thanks for listening, as always. We appreciate it. Thanks to our guest today, Jason Butt of The Athletic, talking some Falcons football. God bless his soul for having to cover that team the rest of the year. We've been broadcasting live from Famous Mike's on Poplar Street in Macon. Wow. Want to remind you, they are open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night for dinner now from 5 until 9 o'clock, in addition to breakfast and lunch. It is BYOB if you want something frosty in your mug. So just bring it on with you. And as soon as the lights get flipped for the Christmas downtown on Poplar Street, which will be the day after Thanksgiving, he'll be open for dinner nightly here at Famous Mike's. For Daniel, I'm Russ. For producer Chris, back at the station, thanks for listening. As always, we'll do it again Monday at 11. Y'all have a good one.